Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend, we are wrapping up our little Advent series, Prince of Peace. And if you have spent some time with us over the last couple weeks, we've been spending a majority of our time in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus gets down to business, gets down to the business of forgiveness. And we learn through what we read in Matthew chapter 18 that Jesus cares about forgiveness. And Jesus cares about forgiveness because God cares about forgiveness. And forgiveness is not just something that Jesus does, but something that we all are a part of. Because we have been forgiven in Jesus. So if we have been forgiven in Jesus, we also forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgiveness begets forgiveness. And as we have seen in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus shows us not only this process of how we should go about forgiving those who have sinned against us, but also the amazing power that comes when we are a part of that. When we forgive each other, we have this amazing power of absolution. When we come to our brothers and sisters and speak words of forgiveness, we are speaking the very words of forgiveness that come to us from God through Jesus in the lives of those around us. When we're a part of this, we are instruments of God right here, right now, proclaiming His forgiveness to our brothers and sisters. And so tonight we continue to look at Matthew chapter 18, and we see that Jesus closes this teaching with a parable. Now, Jesus has a lot of parables, and when we look at a parable of Jesus, there's a couple things that we have to keep in mind and be aware of. So first of all, Jesus' parables are normally these kind of everyday type of stories. Right? And they're not everyday for us because we don't necessarily go plant seeds and we don't necessarily have masters and servants in the same way that they did in those times. But these are everyday stories in the context that Jesus is teaching. And yet when we read these stories, there's usually some sort of detail that's absolutely not ordinary. There's usually some sort of detail, some sort of exaggeration that Jesus uses to make a point. And it's right here that Jesus is teaching us through hyperbole something about himself or something about his kingdom. And so our parable tonight in Matthew chapter 18 is often called the parable of the unforgiving servant. And Jesus uses it as a tool to teach us about forgiveness through perspective. And perspective has a lot to do with how we see things, how we interpret the world around us. For example, well, we can see perspective in really two kinds of ways. So the first type of way is kind of more of a spatial perspective. So I'm sure many of you have seen pictures of people who've been to Italy and like had the picture of like holding up the tower, Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? That's a trick of perspective where you're standing much or far away from something, making it appear like it's closer than it is. But we also have perspective that has more to do with comparison. Comparing one thing that's much larger or much smaller than another thing, and that changes how we see things. And that's the type of comparison, that's the type of perspective that Jesus uses tonight. And it goes a little something like this. I think I'm a good swimmer. I've talked about this a lot. You know, I grew up swimming. I played water polo growing up. I was on the swim team. I would say it's a talent of mine. It's a strength of mine. Now, put me next to Michael Phelps. Now, that changes the perspective, doesn't it? The perennial gold medal winner, Olympic champion, arguably the best swimmer who has ever lived. Next to Michael Phelps, I might as well just be a rock at the bottom of the pool. It's not the same thing. Perspective changes how we see things. So let's practice some perspective as we look at Jesus' words here in this parable. So we read in Matthew 18 about a king and a servant. And a king who has decided really to settle the debts that he has with some of his servants. And one servant, it says, has a debt of 10,000 talents. Remember I said something about there's going to be some sort of absurd detail in here? That's the one. 10,000 talents. You're sure, we get the idea that that's a large amount of money. But we don't deal in talents anymore. You know, we can't even begin to imagine what this is supposed to be in our modern context. So how much money are we talking about here? 10,000 talents. I mean, for me, I'm like 10,000 of anything is a lot. But what is a talent? Consider this. Reading historians from that time period, during that time period, the entirety of the taxes to the Roman Empire from Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and all of the surrounding areas was 600 talents. Together. Total. 600. We're talking about 10,000 talents here. Jesus here in this parable is talking about a servant owing more than 16 times what the entire region owed the Roman Empire in taxes. That's a lot of money. Again, a little more perspective. See, if we're counting this in years that it would take a worker to actually earn those wages, we're looking at someone working for 150 to 200,000 years to earn that type of money. So what we're talking about is not just a huge sum of money. We're talking about such a huge, insurmountable sum of money that it's impossible for someone to ever pay it back. That's what we're talking about here. Now, as we read earlier, upon begging for forgiveness, the master looks upon his servant, and he has pity on him. And he forgives that huge, insurmountable, unbelievable debt. And then we follow that servant. We walk with that servant as he comes to a fellow servant who also owes him a debt of money. And the servant demands payment. And then when asked for that same patience, for that same forgiveness, he refuses. And he throws his fellow servant in prison until his debt is satisfied. I think as we look at this parable, there's a lot that we can see in perspective. And so first, we have the two debts, right? You know, there's this seemingly obvious moral of the story that the debt of the master, the debt that the master forgave, it was so unbelievably large that, you know, the servant should have responded in kind to forgive the smaller debt of his fellow servant. And I think that's true. That's what Jesus is getting at here. The reason that Jesus told this parable was to communicate to his disciples that the debt that has been forgiven us in our sin by God through Jesus is so immeasurably great that when we recognize that, we ought to likewise forgive those around us that need to be forgiven. And while I do want to recognize that's really the core of Jesus' teaching here, and it's true, it doesn't necessarily give us a clear and whole picture of this parable. Let's consider two other perspectives. Let's look at the perspective first of the servant, and then we're going to look at the perspective of the master. So the perspective of the servant. I think as we look at this parable, this is the person that we most easily identify with. And I think we can identify with probably many emotions that this servant is probably experiencing, but particularly two that I want to talk about. The first is that panic-stricken feeling that you get when you know everything's going wrong. You're in the world just kind of collapsing in around you. You're between a rock and a hard place, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's that feeling when you've been out past curfew and you come home and you see Dad on the porch waiting for you. and that pit falls into your stomach, and your throat tightens a little bit, and you just don't know what to do. We've all experienced this type of discomfort, and let's face it, panic that comes with that moment that we're waiting for consequences. We're waiting for the consequences to hit us. We're waiting for the punishment. We're waiting for the verdict. But then in the parable, the master forgives the debt. And so those nauseating moments that you're feeling, the anticipation that's all there, is gone. It's relieved. You're free. The muscles that were tense, relax. You breathe a sigh of relief, a breath of fresh air. See, that's what the gospel's about. That's what the gospel does. The gospel takes us from this point of not knowing what's going to happen to us, this point of no return, and offers to us this path that we didn't see ahead of us, a path of relief. And in Jesus' parable, that's something that we should feel and experience as we see through the eyes of the servant. We have been given something that isn't ours, something that we don't deserve. And it's not because of anything we did, not because of who we are, but rather because of who the master is. A master who sent his son to forgive our debt. And that's a beautiful gift. The master is the bearer of the gospel, the bearer of the good news that should have a profound effect, a profound meaning in how we react in life. But that's not all that we see in the parable. Let's think also about some other emotions that the servant might be feeling in this parable. What might your emotional experience be like as you approach someone who's wronged you? What might that servant have been experiencing as he walked up to that other servant knowing that he owed him? What might you feel? What might you experience? Now, in a perfect world, we might recognize, I've been forgiven this huge debt. I should probably factor that into how I react. But that's easier said than done. Sure, we may want to forgive, but we also want our money back. We also want the hurt that we have experienced to be recognized and acknowledged. You know, often when we read through this parable in Matthew chapter 18, we often think about the sum of money that is owed between the servants to be this just insignificant sum, that's 100 denarii. We seem to just disregard it, because compared to 100,000 talents, it is insignificant. Who cares? But consider this, the debt that is owed from one servant to the other servant is equal to 100 days worth of wages. So we're talking about probably like about $15,000 in modern day context. That's not insignificant. That hurts. If someone owed you $15,000, you would not be likely to just forgive that kind of debt. It is significant. But the parable here isn't saying that our hurts and our debts to each other are insignificant. It's not saying that they don't matter. What it's trying to do is to get us to look beyond what we can see to another perspective, to a greater perspective, the perspective of the master. Because the master has given everything to the servants. He has given us the clothes on our backs. He's given us the very breath in our lungs. We owe everything to him. And as a response, we didn't exactly gratefully thank him. We thanked him by being disobedient. We went our own way. We sometimes even pretended like we didn't have a master at all. And I know that's not the way that we tend to think about things. But as we look at this parable from the eyes and perspective of the master, that's kind of what it looks like. See, the master, he has done everything for his servants, and his servants have just gone the other way, put themselves into even greater debt. But then the master does something that we wouldn't expect. The master sends his only son, to go and make payment. He says, you know, I know my servants have messed up, but I care about them enough that I'm going to make payment for their debt. He sends his son to die. That debt that you have, the weight is paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross to make payment for the indebtedness of all people. And as we look at Matthew chapter 18, that's what God's kingdom is all about. See, at the very beginning of the parable, we tend to kind of just skip over it, but Jesus tells us that he's telling us this parable to talk to us and give us a view of what the kingdom of heaven is all about. There's a lot of language in the Bible about kings and kingdoms. But here's one thing that we should all know when we hear Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is talking about forgiveness. Jesus is talking about redemption. Jesus is talking about reconciliation. See, the kingdom of heaven, it's not about being nice. It's not about even necessarily meeting the needs of those around us. It's not even about praising God. The kingdom of heaven is about forgiveness. The kingdom of heaven is about being forgiven of our sins that we might stand before the King. Stand before the throne. Because it's only in holiness, only in the wiping away of our sins, it's only in the righteousness that is ours in Jesus that we can be a part of that kingdom. And when we are a part of the kingdom of heaven, then we are a part of that forgiveness too. And that's why the end of the parable can and should be a little scary for us. But I think it also does give us a clear picture of how we are supposed to fit into this kingdom. See, when that other servant doesn't forgive the debt of his own fellow servant, he himself ends up in hot water and is cast out. If God's kingdom is about forgiveness, and then we refuse to be a part of that forgiveness, then we're not being a part of God's kingdom. And just like Jesus says in Matthew 7 that we know a tree by its fruit, we can recognize those who are a part of the kingdom of heaven by the marker of forgiveness. Forgiveness pours out of those who have been forgiven, just as a pool spills over into other pools as a stream flows into it. But if forgiveness does not pour out of a person, then it's as if they were like a stagnant pool. Nothing flowing out of it, but also nothing flowing into it. In perspective, there's no comparing the scale of God's forgiveness to that which we offer to each other. But as we look at this parable, we recognize we don't have to. As we look at Matthew chapter 18, we see that all forgiveness is from God. So as you have been forgiven, so forgive one another. And we forgive not because our debts are so small and insignificant, but because God's forgiveness, which is what we are offering to each other, is so great, is so large. He has forgiven you completely so that you can in turn freely forgive one another. May it be so, in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.